A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When Paul came to Antioch in Pisidia, he said in the synagogue, "My brothers, children of the family of Abraham, and those among you who are God-fearing, to us this word of salvation has been sent. The inhabitants of Jerusalem and their leaders failed to recognize him, and by condemning him, they fulfilled the oracles of the prophets that are read Sabbath after Sabbath. For even though they found no grounds for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him put to death. And when they had accomplished all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and placed him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. These are now his witnesses before the people. We ourselves are proclaiming this good news to you, that what God promised our fathers, he has brought to fulfillment for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. As it is written in the second psalm, 'You are my son, this day I have begotten you.'" The word of the Lord. "You are my son, this day I have begotten you." I myself have set up my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. The Lord said to me, "You are my son. This day I have begotten you." "Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for an inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall rule them with an iron rod. You shall shatter them like an earthen dish." "And now, O kings, give heed. Take warning, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice before him with trembling. Rejoice."
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Verbum Domini.
in the spring 2024 edition now of Imprint Magazine, publication of the Sisters of Life, they use as their theme hiddenness. See what lies beneath the surface. And they have in the middle of this publication illustration of four different families, hidden lives, four families. They have a beautiful quote from the English writer George Eliot. Quote, "The growing good of the world is partly dependent on unhistoric acts, and that things are not so ill with you and me as they might have been is half owing to the number who live faithfully a hidden life and rest in unvisited tombs." And they have a beautiful illustration of the Bianchi family. And it was in 2007 that Dr. Germain and Ortrude Bianchi traveled to Mexico, and they visited the mission of Missionaries of Charity in their home for abandoned children. And when they went there, the sisters brought them upstairs to this big sunny room filled with children's cots. And there was a small boy there. His limbs were twisted and deformed. He wasn't able to walk or even feed himself. Again, this was a home for abandoned children. And this little boy, his name was Herbert Daniel, was much smaller than his 12 years of age seemed to indicate. But the sister said that he would always respond to his name with a big smile, and that there was a sweetness and softness about him, a sense that he had accepted his suffering. So the couple went over to his bedside, and Dr. Bianchi, knowing being a physician, knew that his respiration was actually indicating that he was actively dying, that he was about to die. And so he scooped up the little boy in his arms, rocking him back and forth, and gathered everyone around to pray as this little boy was about to die. They prayed the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and he died quietly in Dr. Bianchi's arms. He felt that this little boy chose him, had waited for him. And so he continued to pray for Herbert Daniel every day. And several years later, the sisters relate, he had a dream in which this little boy ran up to him. He didn't recognize him at first because he was running. And he said, "I want to be part of your family." And so he announced to the family, to their 8 children, that they were officially adopting him. And each of the 8 children had a little prayer card with Herbert Daniel's picture. And one of the daughters, when she got married, was praying that she would have a foster child of her own. She would help someone to have a forever home. And it was on the anniversary of Herbert Daniel's death, they got the news that indeed they had a foster child, Zachary, whom they adopted. But they conclude this article with these beautiful words. Herbert Daniel lived a brief life, unseen by most, but he continues to be a model, and the Bianchis believe an intercessor for reunion in families. He was abandoned by his own family, but at the moment of death, God gave him a family. His hiddenness was lived in intimacy with Christ. Though he was completely vulnerable and couldn't do anything for himself, his quiet acceptance of suffering was a gift of love that continues to bear fruit. And so this story illustrates the beauty of this family embracing this child into their own family and finding actually that they found assistance. Please God, now in heaven, little Herbert Daniel, for their own particular needs. And in today's first reading, St. Paul is addressing these people in the synagogue. It's in modern-day Turkey. He's on his first missionary journey with Barnabas. And they travel there to a different Antioch than where the Christians are, where they were first called Christians. They've traveled now to another Antioch in Pisidia. And how does he address them? Children of the family of Abraham. Children of the family of Abraham. And you know that Abraham, we are told in St. Paul's writings, that it was because of his faith. It's because he believed that it was credited to him as righteousness. So St. Paul says that we are a people of faith, that we are heirs of the same promise, that we are children of Abraham, that we are descendants by faith. We're part of the family. Part of the family. And isn't that a beautiful thought? That by faith we are part of God's family, first begun with Abraham. And Jesus indicates this in his beautiful words today. And you know the church in her liturgies, especially for funerals and funeral liturgies, she has a number of different texts that families can choose which are appropriate for their deceased loved one. And one of the Gospels is this one that we have today from John 14. And so we often hear this at funerals, and rightly so, because it's one to give us courage. You know, it's later. This is John chapter 14, and it's in the end of John chapter 16 that the Lord says, "You will have trouble in the world, but take heart, I have overcome the world." You will have trouble. So he's not promising us an easy life, a life without trouble. But then today's gospel, John 14, he says, "But do not let your hearts be troubled." How is that possible if we live with troubles in the world? How is it possible that our hearts will not be troubled? You have faith in God, have faith in me. Have faith in me that he is faithful. He is trustworthy. We can trust him because he is trustworthy. We can trust in his promises. And he says that we are part of the family, that he describes where he is going and where he's going to bring us as the Father's house. And in the Father's house, there's many dwelling places. And I will come back to you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Do you ever think about that? That the Lord is preparing a place for you right now? A place for you in the Father's house? There's a dwelling place specifically for you, and it's being prepared for you. And that when that hour comes, that hour of our own passing, as it did for Herbert Daniel, seemingly now realized he's part of a family, he's held by a father's love, that when that hour comes for us, that Jesus makes a promise, "I will come back again and take you to myself, that where I am, you also may be." So this is the basic fundamental truth. In fact, the Catechism talks about this in its discussion on the Creed. And so it goes through the Apostles' Creed and the different articles of the Creed. And in the article where it says, "I believe in the Catholic Church," it says, what follows immediately after that? The communion of saints. I believe in the Catholic Church, the communion of saints. And it comments on this that, in a certain sense, this is explaining what the Catholic Church is. It's a communion, an assembly of the saints. Do you ever think of that too when you're coming to church? You're joining an assembly of the saints, of the faithful. And in the Eastern Liturgy, which is quoted in the Catechism, that right before Holy Communion, the consecrated gifts are held up. And the priest says, Sancta Sanctis. God's holy gifts, Sancta, God's holy gifts for God's holy people, Sanctis, Sancta Sanctis. Something that we have the privilege really to celebrate today and to receive. God's holy gifts for God's holy people. It says that, so it also mentions here toward the conclusion, it says in the last article regarding the communion of saints, it says that we are in one family of God, and that this is the deepest vocation of the church. How is it that we are one family in God, joined in praising the Most Holy Trinity and loving one another? So we know the perfection of the communion of saints is yet to be realized, but don't forget it's already begun. And how has it begun? That it's in Christ. And the Catechism mentions especially the sacraments impart that life of Christ and bring about this communion that we have with one another. That the baptism that we all Christians share unites us more than what divides us. But it's also especially in the Eucharist where this is effective, this unity of the faithful. And so, and again from the Catechism, it said all the sacraments are sacred links, uniting the faithful with one another and binding them to Jesus Christ. But it's primarily the Eucharist that brings this communion about. Primarily the Eucharist. We all receive the one bread, the one Lord. We've all received the one baptism. And so in the Holy Eucharist, that the unity of believers is both represented, we're all receiving the same holy food, but it's also affected, it's also brought about. And we experience that, I think. I often see that when I go to parishes or greet the faithful. There's a something that's happened during the Mass. It's changed us. We feel more united with one another because we're more united with Christ. It's a beautiful thing. Today we have a special gift for you. I heard them rehearsing before the Mass, as you did as well, that we're going to have David and Sadie singing this beautiful version of Panis Angelicus, the bread of the angels, referring to the Holy Eucharist. This is often, again, something we often hear at funerals because Jesus said, whoever eats this bread will live forever. This is the bread of eternal life. And I'd just like to conclude with the translation. This will be post-communion. You'll be hearing this beautiful hymn, Panis Angelicus. And I'd just like to conclude with the words of the translation of this Latin hymn. The bread of angels was made the bread of man. He confined the heavenly bread to a thing of size and shape. O marvelous thing, that a poor man, a humble servant, should eat the Lord. We beseech thee, O God, three in one, visit us thus, even as we worship thee. Lead us into thy ways, and by them may we direct our course to the light in which thou dwellest. Jesus said that in my Father's house, that's our house too, there are many dwelling places. And I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you also may be. I will come back again and take you to myself.